Okay, today the Isaiah talked about the fasting. So I have a question. So have you ever fasted before? Wes, Jenny,
Tom, Sue.
Wow. Believe almost so many people had fasted before. Usually some medical reason. People protest. Okay, thank you. So without that reason, so someone has fast. So Wes, why did you fast? Okay, so Wes, so Jenny, the same reason?
Yes, I know Cheryl's out there, but I know she was fasting recently to spend more time in prayer.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
She has fasting as part of that.
Wow.
So Sue, so you also medical reason or?
Wow. That's exactly what I did before when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
The youth group leader suggested to their youths to join the fasting and also the money. The money, yeah, was sent to charity organizations which helped the starving people in the world. Yeah, that's, yes, the fasting I did. Yeah, yeah. So, but recently, I haven't fasted. Someone told me, Mike, you need to fast for your diet. But yeah, it's impossible nowadays, yeah. Yes, I love food eating, so yeah, it's quite difficult. But someone, yes, still, may fast for some donation to help the people in the world. Yeah, fasting. Oh, it's very interesting. So I thought nobody had ever fasted before. But okay, yeah, it's miss. Yep. Thank you. Yeah. Anyway, we know fasting isn't easy, and also to me, young Mike, fasting wasn't easy, but I could endure it because I knew well about the purpose of the fasting. But the passage in Isaiah 58:1-9 is about the true meaning of fasting and how it should be done. In this passage, the Lord rebukes the people of Israel for engaging in religious rituals without truly understanding their purpose. The Lord says their fasting is in vain because they still engage in injustice and oppression toward their people. And also, at the time, people used to fast to claim what they wanted. In verse 4, God says, "You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard and high." God, in verses 6-7, redefined fasting. Fasting is universally associated with self-deprivation, with withdrawal or abstention from food mostly. The Lord then outlines what true fasting should look like. It should be accompanied by acts of compassion and justice, such as feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, and freeing the oppressed. The Lord promises that those who practice this will experience restoration, healing, and guidance. Howard Wallace, an Old Testament scholar of the United Church, says, "There is no doubt that some of these tasks will require a personal cost in effort, time, money, maybe even in reputation. It will mean sharing what is possessed with those who have no possessions. There is self-deprivation there. But the passage also portrays fasting as a positive, active enterprise, not just a negative, passive one. Fasting is an activity that is embraced actively and embraces the needs of others. The message in this passage is still relevant today. It reminds us that religious practices are not just about following traditions, but about having a true heart change and acting in ways that reflect our love for God and for others. It also reminds us that God desires to see our action match our words, and that the true Christianity involves serving others and promoting justice. The second reading, Matthew 5:13 to 20, emphasizes the importance of being salt and light in the world. Jesus tells his disciples that they are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Jesus tells his disciples that, he goes on to say that they are to let their light shine before others so that they may see their good works and glorify their Father in heaven. In this passage, Jesus is teaching us that as believers, we have a responsibility to live out our faith in a way that impacts those around us. Salt is a preservative and enhances the flavor of food. In the same way, we are called to preserve and enhance the flavor of the world around us through our good works and love for others. Light dispels darkness and guides the way. In the same way, our faith should dispel darkness and bring guidance to those around us. This passage challenges us to consider how we are living out our faith in the world. Are we making a positive impact on those around us? Are we shining as a light for others to see? Are we preserving and enhancing the flavor of the world with our good works? My brothers and sisters, we, the follower of Jesus, are called to be salt and light in the world, preserving and illuminating the truth of God's love and justice. Jesus teaches his disciples that they are not just to observe the commandments, but to exceed them in their righteousness. Moreover, through fasting and pleasing God is not just doing religious practices, but also demonstrating concern and care for marginalized and oppressed in the world. What God wants is the true worship involves caring for others and fulfilling one's duty to society. In addition to spiritual practices such as fasting, in doing so, we will fulfill our role as witnesses to God's grace and truth. Let us work hard to live out our faith in a way that brings glory to God and positively impacts those around us. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we ask that you help us to live out the message we have heard. Help us to be true followers of Jesus, living lives that reflect your values and morals. May we be salt and light in the world, preserving and illuminating the truth of your love and justice. We pray for the marginalized and oppressed in our society. Give us the courage and compassion to care for them as we should. May your Spirit help us to live as true disciples in your guidance and wisdom as we go about our daily lives. We pray all of these in the name of Jesus. Amen.